to this special SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm Eric Perrazzo. It's great to have you with us. This podcast is part of our Messaging Security School, which you can visit at any time by going to SearchSecurity.com/messaging. Today we're going to count down the top five use cases where poor data handling policies can result in data leaks. Joining me today is Mike Rothman, President and Principal Analyst of Atlanta-based industry advisory firm Security Insight and author of the book, The Pragmatic CSO. Thanks for dropping by today, Mike.
Thank you, Eric. It's always great to be here.
Okay, Mike, we are going to count down from number five to number one, so let's get started. Use case number five, customer service reps. Mike, customer service reps often get a bum rap. Is that the case here?
It sure is, and it's not just because most customer service reps don't provide much customer service. The reality is, you know, even if they're trying to do the right thing, which is to, you know, solve customer problems, in many cases that could involve potentially data leakage just because nobody's really thought about it. So let me kind of walk you through how that works. A lot of organizations take customer requests via email nowadays. So I would say, okay, hi, this is Mike Rothman. I'm account number, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's what I need you to, you know, transfer this money, or I need you to do this stock trade, which so you shouldn't be doing via email. So that was a little test, guys, out there. But I need my address, or I need to change something. So, you know, you send some kind of request via email, and the customer service rep presumably takes care of that, and if they hit reply and send a message back to you with that original message in there, well, that's a compliance violation. That's a data leakage because you've got your personal information. So even though the customer can send it to the rep, you know, inbound to the organization, if the organization replies or sends that information outbound in any way, shape, or form, that is certainly a potential data leakage. So, you know, from a policy standpoint, obviously, a lot of training has to go into those customer service reps to make sure that they know not to or to check whatever correspondence they send to customers to make sure that there isn't any kind of privacy violation in there.
Next on our list of the top five use cases where poor data handling policies can result in data leakage, number four, the help desk. Mike, aren't help desk pros trained to know better?
You would think so, Eric, but, you know, I spend a lot of time with guys that practice the fine art of penetration testing and social engineering, legally, that is. And, you know, a lot of these folks use, you know, kind of the help desk attack very frequently just to, you know, expose a place where, you know, that kind of social engineering attack can happen. So, you know, what you do is you basically just call up the help desk, you ask them to reset your password, you know, by fishing around and being skilled in that type of attack vector, what you're able to do is discern the actual user ID, get the password reset to something that you say, and bam. You know, you're in the environment. And obviously, there should be policies in place to make sure that that doesn't happen. Obviously, there should be training to make sure that, you know, the reps are skilled at detecting that kind of attack and can shut it down pretty quickly. But, you know, again, there's a lot of turnover on the help desk. It's a tough job. In many cases, that's something that ends up being overlooked. But, you know, from a policy and data handling standpoint, it's something that we really need to pay attention to.
Mike, is there a low-tech solution that works as a mitigation strategy here, such as a policy that forces the help desk to verify identities with some specific questions?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly could be, you know, some private information or some kind of, you know, homegrown database-oriented system that'll pop up, hey, you know, who are you, what department do you work for, who's your boss, you know, those kind of things. What I found is, I'll call it a semi-low-tech solution because it does cost money and it does involve some technology, but the idea of a password self-service type of solution can really be helpful in this kind of case. And why? Well, because you get, one, the help desk out of just doing basically, you know, password resets and other very simple, you know, profile updates. But two, you know, you really kind of reduce the odds that you would have some kind of attack on that system because, again, you could add those life questions or you could add additional levels of authentication, you know, to that step in the process. So, again, I think, you know, self-service, password reset and profile management is certainly something that can help with this attack vector.
All right, moving on to use case number 3 on our countdown of the top 5 use cases where poor data handling could result in data leakage: joint product development. Mike, can you tell us how you define that?
Well, sure. I mean, everybody should be familiar with the idea of the automobile. Well, you kind of buy your automobile from, General Motors or Ford or, Honda or Toyota. But the reality is that product is built by hundreds of companies and happens to be sold, basically final assembly, sold and marketed by kind of the brand that's on the car. Well, that kind of joint product development, well, that requires a lot of collaboration between organizations that are different. And, when you think about kind of a big leakage vector or data type being intellectual property, obviously when you're sending designs on your fancy whiz-bang new automobile that's going to totally change how the market, perceives cars, and, lo and behold, that gets sent over to the guy that's manufacturing your seats or the dashboards or, the cockpit instrumentation, there's obviously a lot of opportunity for that information to leak out. And again, it's not necessarily within your organization's data handling, but it could be within your trading partner's organization. So, from that standpoint, you have to have very tightly defined processes, validations, testing, some way to prove the fact that your trading partners are taking care of your data just as tightly as you would. Because, again, that could be a huge problem. And some organizations are obviously a lot smaller, especially downstream, and that creates a big opportunity for data leakage.
All right, we're getting close to the conclusion of our countdown. Use case number 2, blogging. Mike, many organizations have blogging policies, but others are still hoping that blogs are a fad and will just go away.
I don't think playing the ostrich game, basically stick your head in the sand and hope the problem goes away, is going to work with this one. So you're right. A lot of organizations, especially out of the marketing department, have published blogging types of policies, but the reality is I don't know how effectively those have been communicated, especially to the folks in the field and the folks kind of at the ground level or the front line. And the reality is, you hear things all the time. I mean, even our friends at Google had a big problem. Well, one of them kind of said the wrong thing about a movie that came out relative to the healthcare business, and it became this big explosion in the blogosphere. So, you have the opportunity when you have technical people or engineers or customer service reps or somebody writing on their own blogs to talk about what's happening in your organization. And if you can put two and two together, which, hey, I know this guy, this gal works for Google or works for TechTarget or works for Security Insight, they say something about what happened to them on the job, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to put one and one together to say, wow, that is a problem with that business. So again, from a data handling policy, you've got to have a strong process that says, this is what, you can do if you're a blogger. These are the stuff that you can talk, the stuff you can't talk about, and here are the ramifications if you violate that policy. Because, again, unless there's some teeth in that policy, it's probably not worth the paper it's written on.
All right, here we are, the number one item on our list of the top 5 use cases where poor data handling policies can result in data leakage. Number 1, webmail. Mike, these days just about everyone has a web-based email account with Hotmail or their ISP, but there are security ramifications to consider for enterprises.
Yeah, there absolutely are. And it's just as easy as, kind of pulling up Gmail and hitting that, attach button or close, or, I use Yahoo Mail, so it's called attach. Pretty much anything that would be on my work PC, I can attach to webmail and poof, it's gone. So obviously you have to have both policy, training, probably as well as technical defenses to be able to, really detect that attack and make sure that you're controlling the use of that data. And, there are a lot of different technical options, but, ultimately, if we're going to work and we're going to trust our employees, you have to, kind of look at training and education as kind of the first line of defense there. Tell them, hey, we're not going to block your ability to get to Yahoo Mail because, we can't expect you to work every second of the day, but, you can't send this kind of data. You can't, transfer stuff. You can't, kind of download a file that you want to work on at home into your Yahoo Mail account because, again, that creates the opportunity for data leakage.
Mike, it seems like with this one, this is one of those cases where the best possible policy is going to either cost money in the form of a web filtering gateway or make users angry just with the policy changes. Is there any middle ground to be had here?
Well, sure, you could accept, you know, data leakage.
That doesn't sound like middle ground to me.
I don't know that that's a good answer, but you know, do nothing is always an option in the security circles. The reality is, a lot of organizations really should have some kind of web filtering. You know, especially if they're, you know, north of a couple hundred users or employees, they should have some kind of web filtering thing in place. You know, just to protect the organization, reduce liability, make sure that you know, folks aren't trading, you know, bad stuff. Or going to inappropriate sites at work. So, you know, from that standpoint, is it an investment? Yes. Does it cost a lot of money? Not really. I guess that's all relative. But and, you know, we're increasingly seeing web filtering being added to unified threat management devices. So you're able to get a lot of combined environments as well. And, you know, relative to address the idea that you're going to piss off your employees, well, you know, the reality is they work for your organization. They use your resources. You pay their mortgage. From that standpoint, so if you've defined some rules, you know, they can grind their teeth all they want, but you know, they have to adhere to that if they want to stay employed.
So then, to recap our list of the top five use cases where poor data handling policies can result in data leakage: number 5, customer service reps; number 4, the help desk; number 3, joint product development; number 2, blogging; and number 1, webmail. Mike Rothman of Security Insight, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Eric. Always great.
For more materials in our Messaging Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/messaging. We have many more information security podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Eric Perez. Stay safe out there.